Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is the Sound Health Options Show with Richard Talk To Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard. Sun is shining. It's a wonderful day. And we have a great guest that's going to help us relieve something that plagues all of us.
Do I need a, I want to insert a sound effect there, like, ooh, yeah, it's a thing.
I have been playing her sizzle video before the show. She is down-to-earth, practical, into lots of things that concern our audience. So we're going to be very happy to be talking with Dr. Kathy Gruger in just a few minutes. I got a message somehow, Richard, that you were going to be on safari this week. So I was scrambling around trying to get everything ready to do all of this. So I'm not quite ready to talk about anything.
It was just Mercury. Huh? Mercury just went direct. You know, the planet of communication, electronics, and everything else that's exciting that dominates 90% of my life. And so it just it's a time of, oh, really? That's happening now? Okay, go. So yeah, that's in the air.
Else?
That's for sure.
Do you have any
I have that one. Well, I have that one that I sent you. Unfortunately, I don't have a page in front of me about the federal year of 2015. The TSA has a budget of, okay, everybody take a breath. The TSA has a budget of $7.1 billion, and somewhere around, probably more than 50,000 employees. $7.1 billion.
I love the comment.
It just shocks me.
I love the comment you sent. Blech. I don't
exactly.
Know that I've ever seen that word written. Blech.
That's an old Charlie Schultz. That's actually an old Charlie Schultz phrase from the Peanuts cartoons. That was what Linus would always say when something would go wrong. Blech. And that's exactly how I feel about that. Just like, really? You know, I understand there's, you know, we need protection, we need safety, but I don't travel that much, but people that I know travel say that it's not really that effective. Somebody did a study recently where, you know, for example, he talked about his grandfather was traveling. His grandfather, his 82-year-old grandfather was in a wheelchair, and they took away his money clip that had a little pocket knife in it and made him ship it back to himself for $16. And then on the other hand, within a different study, or that wasn't really a study, that was just an observation, that they did a test where they had people try and sneak guns through, and something like 85% of the guns got through. So it's just like, and this is all my opinion, all my attitude, all, you know, this is me making, you know, I'm on my soapbox. But it's just like, really? $7.1 billion so somebody's 82-year-old grandfather can, you know, not have his pocket knife? Really? That's what we're doing? It blows my mind.
And it was bomb materials, too. But it's the
kind of... Yeah, it was a bunch of... go ahead.
It's just the kind of thing our audience likes to know about so they can prepare themselves. When you have to go through a cavity search, it is not pleasant. You miss your planes, and if you're an old lady like me, they are punching in places where it just is not comfortable. And I was trying to get back into the United States, so it wasn't going out, coming in. It made me not travel for years, and I don't think I would still travel unless it was some extreme dire emergency. I would drive. I'd hire a cab to drive me out to you, Richard, on the West Coast before I was hit on a plane where TSA was a problem with it.
I admit, I don't travel that way much. I drive a lot, but I don't fly a lot. And from the people I know that travel internationally, I have a friend who's all over the world all the time. And even though he's a professional, and it's just, I don't know, you know, $7.1 billion, that's a lot of money. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. Go ahead.
My apologies to those of you who are on Blog Talk Radio with us. I had myself muted, so I'm sorry about that. You missed a great announcement by Richard about the TSA, and I was talking about it. And I want to complain because what they were accusing me of is that I had ammunition in my luggage. And I said, if there's ammunition in my luggage, you put it there. And boy, did I ever get lambasted, pushed, shoved, punched, plotted, prodded. And what it ended up is on the Canadian side, there was a store, and I collect miniature clocks. And there was a cannon, a tiny cannon, probably 2 inches long. And in the barrel was a miniature clock. And that's what they identified as ammunition. So it's just silliness.
Yeah. That's the stuff that we're, you know, bothering with. I don't know.
I am afraid of our government over this. And that's one of the reasons that we do this show and bring you things that help you look at GMOs and help you look at the TSA and vitamins and big pharma and big government, because certainly this stuff with this full body scanners was put into play. I think it's Michael Chernoff. I can't remember his name. But he decided that that was going to be the law, and then he went out and made a company that made these things and then sold them to the government and then resigned his commission as the head of the Homeland Security. Now, if that isn't double-dipping, backstabbing, dealing, and I don't mean to get so upset here because we're going to have a happy and wonderful guest, but we do have a few more announcements to do, and then we'll bring on Dr. Gruber. As always, we welcome your comments and questions. We are simultaneously broadcasting. And, Richard, I think I interrupted you, so go ahead and finish what you were saying, too, as soon as I give this.
No. I was just going to rant more about the TSA, so I'll stop.
Well, when you have a personal experience with it, it really gets to me.
Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine. Yeah.
And I'm not one to keep my mouth shut. I'm polite to a point. Yeah. For those of you who want to watch the show, and boy, do we have some interesting stuff, you can go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, and go to the radio link, and there you will see a little blue line, I think it is, and you double-click and go on with it. And I'm looking for, I had this wonderful, here it is. Facebook. Now, this is our guest flying on a trapeze. I was so impressed with that. So being able to watch that, look at some of your pictures, you'll be able to do that if you go to our Sound Health Options site. Okay, we're coming to you all, hurry, from the studios of Sound Health and the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. We're a registered 501c3 nonprofit, the largest in Ohio. What we do here is stick a microphone in front of your face, and we have you speak to us for about 30 seconds. And from those frequencies of your voice, we can look at pieces of your health. Didn't we just do something for you, Richard? And I didn't get any feedback if that helped or not.
Oh, I had a reaction to something about, I thought I'd had some kind of exposure, and I didn't give you any hints about it, what it was. And the first thing that showed up was mold, and that was exactly what I thought it was. So, yes, you were right on. You were spot on.
Wow, that's good to know. And I love being able to help people identify that kind of thing. That's why we do all this stuff with PTSD and I should write an article about the things we found when we did that Army project, because that has helped so many people to know those eight things, those eight nutrients that really help replenish the adrenals so there's not so much stress. So the whole idea of this show is to bring you ideas and information that helps you lead a more authentic life, a less stressful life. I need to make an announcement about three classes, and then Richard, if you would introduce our guest. We have three free classes coming up, one on June 17th. Richard, you should be here. It's the allergy workshop, and the software is included. And yes, you heard me right. That is a free seminar. That's being sponsored by Charlene Springer in her radio show, Beyond Empowerment. She's also going to have one on the 18th that is open to the public, software included, muscle management for all of those who are getting in shape and doing trapeze artists kinds of things. It'll tell you which muscle is too tight, which one is weak, what you need to look for. And then on July 18th, there's a personality profiler, and that is a software about what's going on with you and how to help you make decisions. That's sponsored by Jill Madsen, who wrote the book Sound Secrets about ancient healing techniques, and there's more about that on our site. Remember, we do have free public softwares on our site every month under downloads. This month, it's allergies, and that's why we're doing the class. And for our Pacific Coast listeners, we have radiation exposure. Provides information about nutrients and competitors that the body begins to break down when this radiation comes in. All of these classes are open to the public. You can find the application on our website under classes, and where it says payment, just put 0000 or mark it out and say, Sherry said so, and send it in. We are having a 5-day professional seminar next week, so don't mix it up with that one. Just go to the free public workshop tab. Okay, I think that's all of Richard. If you would introduce our guest, that would be wonderful.
I'd be happy to. I know we have a lot to talk about. Dr. Kathy Groover is an award-winning author and the host of a TV show based on her first book, The Alternative Medicine Cabinet. She earned her PhD in natural health and has authored two books on stress, Body-Mind Therapies for the Body Worker, and her most recent book, Conquer Your Stress with Mind-Body Techniques. Kathy has studied mind-body medicine at the famed Benson Henry Institute for Mind-Body Medicine at Harvard Medicine School and pursued further education at the Natural Institute of Health. She's been featured as an expert in numerous publications, including Prevention, Men's Health, Huffington Post, Yahoo.com, Ladies Home Journal, Massage, and Body Works Magazine, and Massage Magazine. Dr. Groover has appeared as a guest expert on over 200 radio and TV shows, including NPR, Sky News London, CBS Radio, and Lifetime Network. Her recent book, Conquer Your Stress with Mind-Body Techniques, is a compendium of practical methods we can use to decrease our stress for better health. Studies are presented as are a variety of mind-body modalities that you can incorporate into your life. Kathy will also be talking with us about her recent book on market practice. Good morning, Kathy Groover.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm great. It's such an honor to have you here. You are helping so many people. We want to talk about your latest books, the stress book, and I would really like to talk about, and we're looking at this on Amazon at the moment, the Alternative Medicine Cabinet book. Uh-huh. Richard usually has an out-of-the-gate question. Do you want to start, Richard?
I'd love to. How did you go from stage to working and being in the field of stress and body mind connection? What was the Dr. Groover was an actress, or you were a I'm not sure what that story is, but I know that you went from stage to now you're this world renowned personality and representative of stress and body-mind techniques. What was that? How did that happen?
Yeah, that was not a simple path. That path had all these little tributaries and all these little curves and mountains, and there was probably a landslide at some point. And it was a heck of a journey. I stepped on stage in fifth grade, and I didn't step off yet, because when I do lectures and workshops and radio shows, and you know, to me it's still a performance to a certain extent. You know, anybody can stand in front of you and go blah 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 stress. I want to make it fun, and I want to make it funny, and I incorporate that into the work that I do. So I have not stepped off stage yet, but it has definitely morphed into something very different. And I seem to have these parallel paths that ran, where I was doing the healing thing on one side and the performing thing on the other side, and one day they just sort of collided much later in my life, and I started writing and lecturing, and it was a natural progression for me. There was, to me, something very healing about performing, and there's a lot of people that do things like, you know, music therapy and art therapy and improv as a way of getting to the root of your stress, to the root of your mental illness, to the root of your issues. There's that play therapy, the drama therapy, and it's such a psychological journey to immerse yourself into a character and create a reality around just a script, and I used to love that. I still love doing improv. I took a friend the other night and went to improv and just played and was funny and was fun and emotional, and it's such a great stress reliever to be able to put on a different mask and be somebody else. So I think the two are really interconnected. I think they're very related, and I don't know where the next journey is. It's a long road, and who knows what is going to pop back in, you know, next. completely unpredictable.
Well, it's an amazing journey, and as you say that, I think it's so interesting that you love improv, because part of what you do is just that in how you present. In other words, I think it's a very different thing. I was in theater, but always back. I was always one of the, you know, nerds backstage, and so I think it's a very different thing when you're on stage reciting lines.
Yeah.
But it's another thing with particularly your style is, as you say, you're talking about serious subjects. You're talking about, you know, illnesses and conditions and, you know, the healing process. But you're doing it in a somewhat riffy, what I would call riffy manner, meaning, you know, you're creatively telling a story that you want to get across to your audience. So it's quite different, I think, than a script. And that's what I love about your style and how you present is it is – you're talking about serious things, but it's like with a little bit of humor and a little bit of like, this is live. I'm really talking about this.
Right.
And that's a great thing.
It is, and I get so many compliments about my speaking style because there's a little sass to it, and I'm, you know, self-effacing, and I'll tell stories. One of the stories that I tell during my stress talk is perception problems or why Kathy is a doofus. That's the title of that section of the story. And I talk about this ridiculous experience that my husband and I had in Las Vegas where this guy thought I was naked going to the pool. I mean, it was hysterical. But it leads you to the conclusion of, okay, perception is everything. Reality does not matter because we all view reality differently. We all have a different take on reality. It's our perception, and it's our perception issues that are going to create that stress. So I have this whole thing about this hysterical story, and people are just laughing their ass off. But it gets the point across, as opposed to me saying, misperception is bad. You know, I mean, it's like, I want people to laugh because laughter is also stress relieving. And I just, you know, it's I love laughing. Adults laugh so little. And if you have ever done anything with laughter yoga, you know, they talk about how children laugh, I think it was like 300 to 400 times a day, and adults laugh like less than 12. That's pathetic. I mean, that's awful. I get 12 laughs out of 1-hour-long massage because I want to keep people happy. You know, whether it's the bad joke of the day my dad called and told me or some funny story that I tell or a pun or, you know, whatever it is. It's like I want to be surrounded by people who I can make laugh.
Well, tell us the naked pool story.
I will. Okay. So my husband's a wine, food, and travel writer. And normally when he travels, he's being sent somewhere fabulous for wine trip or something like that. And he said, hey, I'm being sent to this brand-new hotel in Las Vegas. Do you want to come? I said, yes, please. So we show up to the hotel, and it's this gorgeous hotel called the Cromwell. And he gets a text from his rep from Hollywood Reporter, who said, "Hey, I have a private cabana at the beach club. Do you want to come?" And I said, "Yes, please." So I throw on my bathing suit, and my idea of a cabana is, you know, it's quiet, and there's some, you know, pool boy who's going to bring me a frosty beverage, and I can lay on my chaise, and I can read my philosophy book. And so I grab my philosophy book, and I realize I didn't bring any shorts. I didn't bring anything to put over my bathing suit, and this is a nice hotel. I'm not going to walk through the hotel just a bathing suit. And my husband said, "Well, you know, there's a robe in the bathroom." And I went, "Oh, that's perfect." So I throw on my little penny loafers from Boston, and I throw on my robe, and I got my philosophy book, and we walk through the hotel, and we get to the bouncer area where you have to get into this beach club. And I'm talking to one security guard. My husband's talking to another about who he is, and we have someone inside. And the guy is just going crazy looking at me. And he's like, "Oh, this is so awkward." And I said, "Well, that's okay. You know, if you can't get us in, that's not an issue." And he goes, "This is so embarrassing." And I said, "That's okay. If you can't get us in, we'll wait for our guy to come down." And he's just going nuts. And I'm thinking, it's not that big a deal. Why is he freaking out? And he finally says, "Ma'am, this is so embarrassing, but, oh, boy, what do you have under the robe?" And I said, "What?" And he said, what are you wearing under the robe?" He thought I was naked and trying to get into the pool. So here's this middle-aged woman in loafers holding a philosophy book with a middle-aged man, and he's looking at me thinking I'm naked. And I said, "I've got a bathing suit on." He goes, "Oh, that's what I thought. Oh, can I see?" And I said, "I don't care." So I open up the front of my robe, just as my husband turns around and sees me basically flashing the security guard. So my husband grabs my arm and says, "Oh, my God, what are you doing? I'm working." And had I thought about it, I would have said, "I am too." But I didn't think to say that. And I turned to my husband and I said, "He thinks I'm naked." And he goes, "What?" This whole perception problem. We finally get up to the beach club, and it's thousands of people scantily dressed with loud thumping hip-hop music. There's no cabana boy. There's no chaise lounge. And this is where I'm really a doofus, is I take off the shoes immediately and I put them down in our little cubby area with my book and my shoes. And my thought is, I hope no one steals these. Right, yeah, someone's going to steal my penny loafers and my philosophy book. So it's funnier with a PowerPoint. But it was just this whole comedy of errors of this guy's perception of what my perception of a beach club would be, and my husband's completely after 20 years, why would I be flashing a bouncer perception? And, I mean, the whole thing was just this comic situation that was completely ridiculous, but we all had different perceptions. We were not letting go of it that moment. And in this occasion, it led to something funny. It can also lead to conflict and stress and war of, you know, people not letting their perceptions go. And those perceptions are formed from our experience, but also we just sort of, you know, we grow up learning certain things about certain things, whether it's religion or politics or relationships and roles in relationships. That's all a perception, and we have the ability to change those, but you have to even know you have them first. So I love telling that story because I just think it's hysterical, this guy thinking I'm naked under this robe.
That's a great scene. It sounds like a scripted scene out of a Woody Allen movie.
Right, exactly.
It's so, like, cinematically perfect. I can see the whole thing in my mind, like, oh, my God, and this and that, and then your husband punches the guy out. I mean, it's just like it's an amazing setup. It's just stupendous.
But what's even funnier is we didn't get in at that moment. We actually had to go back up to the room because they wanted our IDs. And I'm like, where do I have the ID in this, especially if I'm nude? So I then put a pair of shorts on. But my husband's walking around dressed like he's going to a golf tournament. You know, he's in tennis shoes with little socks, and he's got his little Bermuda shorts on. He's got his golf shirt on. And he's walking around with a really expensive camera taking pictures of, like, all these scantily clad women, which he had to do for the article, but they didn't know that. So they're probably like, who brought their dad? You know, I mean, because like, he's in his 50s and everybody else is in their 20s. It was so fun. I mean, just the whole thing was so weird. It's so not our scene. I would much rather be in a quiet place where I can read my philosophy book and not surrounded by thousands of people. He was standing in wading pools going, oh, what diseases are floating around that? The hotel was fabulous. The hotel was beautiful.
Well, I have another perception, my different one. In looking at all of your pictures, you are in really good shape. Being a trapeze artist and all this, you know, and a hip-hop dancer, maybe he just wanted to take a peek at what was underneath that robe. His own observation.
I appreciate that. Given the fact that I was the oldest of most women there, and there were some gorgeous women. I mean, I'm in good shape for the shape I'm in. These women, I mean, I couldn't stop looking at them. They were just stunning. I'm like, where does this come from? I mean, they were just beautiful. My poor husband is just walking around going, ah! I don't know how guys function with that around. That would be so distracting.
And so I want to jump back to perception for a minute and talk about the perception thing, because I think that's a really great launch point to talk about stress reduction. Is I forget who it is who did the study, but somebody did a study where they looked at our bodies don't react really any differently than us imagining a tiger.
Mm-hmm.
If we really sit down and really imagine that image of a tiger coming toward us, our bodies react the same way. Well, probably not quite the same, but close to the same.
Yeah.
Everything in the system goes off with alarms just as if a real tiger was leaping toward us. So that perception of how we see things in the context of our lives, how we react to that perception, that's a great launch point to talk about stress and how we get that, you know, that tiger in our mind, like, to lay down and purr, for God's sakes.
Now, that's a really good, I love that, it's not a statistic, I love that fact, because, you know, we have this constant dialogue going on in our minds, we have this constant flow of pictures, this constant movie playing, and it's estimated we have about 60,000 thoughts a day, and that 50,000 of those are negative. Okay, so that's a lot of negativity. And with every negative thought we have, it leads to another negative thought. It perpetuates itself. And we're constantly forming new synapses. We're constantly forming new connections. And I don't want my brain filled with negative connections. I want to be as positive as I can and think happy, lovely thoughts with kittens and rainbows. Can't always do that because there are bad things happening to us. We do have external things that are stressors. But again, changing our mind about how we react to that is key. And because our brain doesn't recognize what we're thinking about as different from what is actually happening. So what we're imagining, you're absolutely right, Richard, the body's reacting to that. So we're putting ourselves in this fight-or-flight response, which we need if we're actually being chased by a tiger. We don't need if we're simply stressed about our boss, because we can't actually fight him or flee him, usually. So changing our mind, to me, is key to changing our physiology, to changing our outcomes. And so much of that is perception. It's what we're looking at and how we see it. And it's the glass half empty, glass half full thing. You know, people can either look at me doing trapeze and say, oh, my God, you're crazy, that you're going to hurt yourself, that's stupid, why are you doing that, that's dumb, that why, blah, blah, blah. Or they can go, hey, that's really cool, I don't think I could do that, but good for you. We choose how we look at things. It's hard sometimes if we have that pattern ingrained, but we do have a choice in the matter.
And do you use the... I used to do various kinds of, you know, like pump iron and that kind of stuff, or long-distance cycling. And one of the things that I found that was really beneficial about that was that when you're doing something, this is a question formed in more of a picture, is when I was doing some action like that, at that moment when I had that heavy weight over my face, I had to completely concentrate on that moment. I couldn't be someplace else. I couldn't be thinking about the tea kettle on home, you know, that I might have left at home, or did I get this, or did I do that? I had to be completely in the moment. And is that one of the things that you enjoy out of the trapeze, is that when you're jumping from here to there, or you're about to leap, you can only be that in that moment? Is that a benefit of that?
Yeah, absolutely. To me, anything like that, it's a mindfulness practice. And, you know, 2014 was deemed the year of mindfulness, and I don't know what they've deemed this year yet. I'm sure it's just as good. but it is about staying in that space, in that present moment, and the trapeze certainly forces you to do that. Excuse me. Certainly forces you to do that, because if you're not paying attention, you miss your calls, or you miss your catch, or you end up in the emergency room like I did when I was jumping forward to something else in my mind. It forces you to be present. And what's kind of funny is I was at class yesterday, and they call me the line Nazi, because if the people in front of me aren't clipping in and moving up, I'm like, okay, go, next flyer, let's go. Because we're there to fly. Let's do it. And I totally get the distraction of, oh, my girlfriend's up there now, and I want to take her picture, and, oh, I'm wearing my sunglasses, I'm texting a friend. Get up the ladder. We're all paying to do it. Get up the ladder. And there was a guy who every single time missed his, you know, like I had to remind him it was his turn, every single time he had his sunglasses on, every single time he forgot to unclip at the top, and it's like he was just so not present. He was not aware of what he was doing. He was not aware of his environment or what he needed to do. I understand there's some nerves surrounding climbing a 30-foot ladder and jumping off, but after 2 hours, he still was so someplace else that he was missing the basics of what you had to do just to simply move the class forward, and it was fascinating to me to observe that. Really nice guy, just kind of not present. And I see people walking through their lives all day long who are not present. They don't realize you just held the door open for them. They just kind of glaze through and they don't even think about it. You smile and say good morning and they're someplace else. Not that we haven't all done that, but to me there's a danger in that because now is what we have. And if you're dwelling about stuff in the past, you're creating a stress response that you already had, so you don't have to have it again. If you're worrying about stuff in the future, you're suffering twice. It'll come, and we don't know what it's going to be, so why are you worried about it? So the more we can stay in the present moment and enjoy this now, that to me is the place to be, because there's no stress here. It's someplace else, and we're bringing it in. That's our choice.
How can we
recognize? That's really good.
Yes, it
is.
How can we recognize those warning signs of stress without ending up in the emergency room like you did?
Yeah. It's a matter of just being conscious of the fact that you'd like to be present. And what was so confusing about one of the workshops I did at Harvard, I think it was the one with Thich Nhat Hanh, they were talking about staying in the present and not letting your thoughts float to the future. And I thought, well, but I kind of like my daydreaming about the future. You know, not fatalizing of, oh, my God, the boss wants to talk to me Monday. What's that about? But more the, oh, I'm going to write another book, and oh, I get to do trapeze next week, and oh, I'm going to Colorado soon, and I get to whitewater raft. You know, I like that daydreaming. I like that fantasizing about the future because that allows me to, that's how we create things. And I was kind of torn with, okay, if we're supposed to be always in the present moment, how are we, like, making appointments? How do we function in the future? And I actually really had a quandary on that because I didn't get it. How am I in the present but daydreaming about the future? And I talked to one of my mentors, and she said, I think what they mean is that you simply are aware of where your thoughts are. So you stay in the present moment, and maybe your thought is, okay, right now I'm going to take some time and I'm going to think about that meeting tomorrow. You're consciously thinking about the future as opposed to in the middle of making love, you're thinking about the business meeting the next day. Not a good use of your time. Your spouse probably doesn't appreciate that. There's a time to be in the present moment, and there's a time to be consciously thinking of the future. You know, that's what I took away from it. And I don't know that that's true. That's just kind of my take on it, because I think that stay in the now thing confuses a lot of people who like to daydream about the future. So that's kind of what I took away from that, is it's just where you're consciously placing your thoughts. Are you awake or are you asleep?
Mm-hmm. And how in not only your own practice doing body work, but in all of your years of research now, how do you see what are the cumulative effects that you observe in stress? You know, what are the effects of stress on the body? What do you observe, and you know, what do you know? What have you found out?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it. Muscle tension. Your shoulders are up around your ears. Headaches. Jaw tension. Sleeplessness. Waking up in the middle of the night with those racing thoughts that you can't stop. Boredom. Distraction. Sighing. Yawning. Ulcers. Heart disease. Cancer. Yeah, I mean, it's all of it. To me, stress is one of the biggest killers in our society, and I would never say, and I want to clarify this, we are not causing our own illness, we are not causing our own disease. I've heard some very famous cancer doctors say things like, oh, well, you're causing your illness because you're having negative thoughts. BS, no, sorry, not, no, you're not causing your own disease. However, our negative thoughts and our negative reactions and our stress is definitely contributing to things. If, from nothing else, we have that physiological stress response, and part of that is a decrease in the immune system. So if you're already trying to fight off a cold or a flu or a cancer or whatever it is, that stress is not helping. And I have spoken before, you know, groups of scleroderma patients or multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, cancer, lots of cancer. I lost my mom to cancer, so I have a special place in my heart for people dealing with cancer. And I've always said, how many of you feel that your symptoms and your pain get worse when you're stressed? And every single hand goes up. It's not helping. So it's contributing to to everything. I don't know that I can name one disease that's not contributed to, you know, that's not exacerbated or contributed to by stress. And that's scary.
But it is really, you know, stress is such an underrated, in my own, you know, studies and practicing as an herbalist for a number of years, that stress was like, so stress to me is almost like a tipping point in the sense that if you can have somebody who's going a particular direction, pick a condition, you know, it doesn't really, to me, make any difference what the condition is. Pick a condition. If the person gets stressed out and that cascade of stress and angst and physiological mental tension just gets, you know, cascades in on itself, I've repeatedly seen that person has a more difficult time improving. Whereas you have the people who, you know, can have body work or have other kinds of therapy or some kind of mental release, that then that, again, everything that you're talking about with the immune system really helps them sort of back off. And, you know, it allows the body to do it. It's not fighting against the tiger in your head.
Yeah. Yeah, and a friend of mine calls it crazy monkey brain, where it's just this whoop, 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 whoop of this thing running around your head, just creating these stories and this drama. And we can't stop the stress outside of ourselves. We can't stop the audit. We can't stop the traffic. We can leave earlier, and we can try to mitigate some of this stuff. But, I mean, let's be real. It's not going away. Stress is just there. It's part of, you know, Hans Selye said the only way to not have stress is to be dead. Pretty much, yeah. I'm going to go with that. So then what can we change? Our reaction to it and the creation of our own stress, which is what's happening in our head. And one of the things I took away from the workshop with Thich Nhat Hanh was one of his, he had all these brothers and sisters there from numerous locations around the world, and they were just, oh, this was such an amazing experience. He was so incredible, and the people he brought that spoke, oh, just mind-blowing. And this beautiful one of the sisters, she was just gorgeous. She had the most amazing speaking voice. She lulled us all into this state of practically hypnosis because she was just so incredible. And a woman had come to her and who was pregnant and said, I have really sad news. I'm not sure if my baby's okay. And the sister said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, they did a test and they're not sure, so they did another test and we won't have the results for a week. And I'm freaking out and I'm afraid I'm going to lose my baby and I don't know what to do. And the sister said, well, what do you know now? Are you pregnant? Yes. Do you know right now that it's a healthy baby? Yes. Okay, in a week you'll find out. Why suffer twice? And that to me is so powerful because this woman was going to spend a week worrying about if her baby was okay without knowing any outcome yet. Believe me, if you find out the baby's not okay, you're going to suffer. You know, it's going to be hard. I can't imagine getting that news or losing a child. Why suffer twice or 10 times or 30 times? And I've been guilty of that in my own life. I had my most favorite cat ever who was clearly going downhill quickly, and he was dying, and it was just one of those things of, okay, which day is it going to be that we have to take him in? And every time I got near this cat, I held him and burst into tears. And my husband finally said, Kathy, the cat is here alive right now. And you, rather than enjoying these final moments, first of all, you're freaking out the cat. I said, yeah, that's a good point. He said, enjoy these moments rather than thinking about what are we going to do with him tomorrow? He's here now. And it's the same thing. Why suffer twice? Why would I put myself and the animal and the grandmother, who, you know, whatever it is, why are we doing that to ourselves? Why would we torture ourselves like that when there's enough torture externally that we can't control?
That's great. I love that.
Yeah, very good. Is there something, besides an incident, is there some little big thing that we could do every day? You've mentioned deep breathing. You've mentioned just go with the flow. You've mentioned I'm in a peaceful state kind of statement. Is there something that people could just, you know, when you wake up, do this and be joyous, peaceful, and stressless the rest of the day?
Yeah, you know, and you kind of touched on it. I teach a mini meditation because I'm not a great meditator. As you can imagine, if I'm doing, you know, hip-hop and trapeze to relax, sitting on a pillow and stilling my body and quieting my brain is not my strong suit. It just doesn't work for me. It actually stresses me out more. But there's a mini meditation where you simply concentrate on your breath, and you can do this in any position, in any environment, any location. You don't have to sit on the pillow and cross your legs. You simply focus on your breath, the rise and fall of your chest. And on the inhale, you think, I am. And on the exhale, you think, at peace. And you repeat that over and over again. And what's so great about meditating that way, and I know it's not formal meditation, so people who are listening who actually can sit on the pillow and float away into a million bubbles, I can't, not that well. So this works for me, and it's great whether you're in traffic or standing in line at the bank or waiting for the fifth flight delay or whatever it is. It brings you into the present moment. And what I like about it is because you're thinking, I am at peace, it's harder for other things to intrude. Whereas if I try to just not think anything or completely quiet my brain, all these other thoughts float in, whether it's my to-do list or my shopping list or I'm remembering something or I jump up and realize I have to call a client. If I'm saying I am at peace, all I'm focusing on is breathing and I am at peace. And it completely pulls you into the now, which is where we should be. And it's to me, it's just such a great tool, and anybody can do it. I've taught it to children. I've taught it to drug addicts. I've taught it to anger management and people with mental illness, and it's fabulous. I love it.
And do you feel this works once somebody can get it? Do you feel that this works even in extreme traumatic situations, in terms of, you know, like death or loss of a loved one, or if you'd known, you know, back at the time when your cat was dying, if you'd known that, do you think you would have been able to use that as a tool to bring yourself into the moment to just be with the cat in a positive sense?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. And I got the best compliment the other night. I was officiating a wedding, because, you know, I do that too. And this lovely couple lent their house, this amazing house, to the bride and groom. And the woman who owned the house, her dog was completely freaking out. I guess that she had been traveling a lot. Anyway, the dog was not in good shape, just kind of like nervous and stressed and trying to run away and all this kind of stuff. And she's holding the dog, and I went over and I started talking to the dog and petting it. And one of the bridesmaids said, wow, you have the touch. That dog completely calmed down. And I said, well, it's what I do. I said, I do massage. I said, but I also deal with a lot of stress. And the woman that owned the house looked at me and she went, oh, did you speak at the yacht club? This was years ago. And I said, yeah. I said, probably like 5 or 6 years ago. And she said, I was in that talk. You have changed my life. Do you know what I do every day? And I smiled and I said, I am at peace. And she goes, yes, it got me through my mother's death. It got me through dealing with her funeral and all the paperwork. It got me through my husband's 3-month hospital stay. You have saved my life. And I'm like, holy crap. First of all, when do you get to know that you actually touched someone's life? So to me, that's huge, because I'm here to help. And I assume I'm helping people, but who knows? You know, who's listening now, whose life I might be touching? And, you know, so to get that feedback from her so many years later, that something as simple as breathing and I am at peace, she felt changed her life. That's huge to me. And if it can change her life, and it actually kept one of my clients probably out of getting thrown in jail, because rather than punching the guy in the face who took his wave when he was surfing, he took a second and said, I am at peace, and breathed. I'm going to take that. So
that
if
is
it can
wonderful.
Help those people, you know, who knows how helpful it can be, you know? Just do it.
That's so like, very powerful.
Oh,
and
I was just so high.
That is very cool. And now, are there things in your daily either practice or, you know, as you go through your day, since you also have the wonderful alternative medicine cabinet book, are there herbs or nutritional supplements that you think are positive additions to reducing stress? And I don't mean drugging. I just mean in terms of, you know, tonics for the body or, you know, benefits,
right,
that kind of thing.
So not crack. We're going to skip the crack.
Not crack. Not so much
not
for the crack.
Not crack. Okay.
No.
I don't think that's relaxing, though, from what I don't know. Yeah. Definitely no crack.
Yeah.
I have to wear crack every time we do a radio show. Because I think I brought that up the last time we talked. I'm a big fan of magnesium. I think we're all tremendously, I'm not the only one. Most people, we're tremendously deficient in magnesium. And magnesium helps with sleep. It helps with bowel health and headaches, muscle cramps, that kind of stuff. So I'm a huge fan of magnesium. I take a multivitamin, and the caveat to that is what I remember, which is terrible because this is what I preach to everybody, and there are days I forget to take it. I take a multivitamin and mineral because our soils are depleted, and with the pesticides, the herbicides, the GMOs, and the da-da-da-da, and the environmental stress and our just regular stress, We use up more stores of nutrients in our body when we're in a stressful situation. And then throw in, you know, the women things of like menstruation and pregnancy and menopause, and you know, we need more than what we're getting in our food. So adding a multivitamin and mineral, I'm a big fan of. Getting that from organic whole food sources is best. Synthetics aren't going to be as good for you. Try to eat the best you can. And I know a lot of people recommend things like medicinal mushrooms, like maitake and shiitake and, you know, things like that, cordyceps for stress and energy and things like that. I don't do a lot of tonic-y kind of things. I just go with the basics. And then if something starts to go awry, then I go, okay, let's examine this and see what I might be able to add on top. But if nothing else, we should be taking a good multivitamin.
And what do you have a favorite delivery on magnesium? Are you just talking oral? Or are you talking, you know, there are sprays. There are, you know, I think magnesium is definitely a thing in terms of our deficiency due to GMOs and glyphosate's effect on the soil and, you know, all that other show. But is there a kind of delivery for magnesium that you like?
You know,
that you prefer?
I just take a pill. I get magnesium. It's of course a giant pill because magnesium is such a huge molecule. It needs to be pretty big, and I get a pill that's, I guess, 250, and I pop two of them, and I'm good to go. And it does work. It's just one of our local stores brands. I don't know where they get it. I don't know how they manufacture it, but it works. I've seen the effects of it working. Norm Shealy, who's a friend of mine, he has a topical magnesium. It's a cream or a gel, and it's fabulous. I've not used it, but I actually need to order some because especially with muscle issues, I think that would be amazing. So he formulated this whole thing to have topical magnesium. Fabulous stuff. So whatever works for you. Some people do the crystals or the powder because they can't take a pill that big. I don't have problems swallowing gigantic pills, so it works for me. But I think just get it in you, whatever method's going to work.
I love it getting it in there with chocolate.
Yeah, that works too. That's why we crave chocolate before our periods, because we want the magnesium. Well, I mean, we want the chocolate, but we actually are craving that because of the magnesium.
Richard, do you know about the BioDots?
I don't. I see you sent me a note about the BioDots. Please query about the BioDots.
Page 53 of this wonderful book that you can get at Amazon, and it has 4.5 stars. And one of the things I look for is how many used ones there are, and not very many.
So good. So
if you guys are penny pinching, there is one there for one penny. They'll probably charge you an arm and a leg for shipping. That's how they make their money. But on page 53, there is this cute little story about BioDots. Can you talk about that a minute?
Yeah, BioDots are really cool. They're one of my most favorite tools. Oh, geez, it's early in the morning here. One of my most favorite tools, and it's a little it looks almost like a bindi sticker that you'd put on your forehead, and it's a gel-filled dot, and you put it on your hand between your thumb and your forefinger, and it changes color. So it's the same basic concept of a mood ring, but what it actually measures, it's a very sensitive measure of temperature. And when you're stressed, your hands, feet, and ears slightly drop in temperature, and when you're relaxed, your hands, feet, and ears slightly get warmer. So this sensitive little thermometer can actually help you see from a basically biofeedback standpoint if you're experiencing stress or not. And I learned those the first time I went to Harvard and studied with Herbert Benson. We were given all of those during the conference, and it was so much fun because I'm in a room with 150 probably physicians. Now, I'm not a physician, so that was a little intimidating for me. Go to Harvard with a bunch of physicians. It was scary. They hand out all these dots. And there were a couple rules that the woman told us. She said, one, it's not a competition, so do not worry about what anybody else's dots are doing. But, of course, for the entire rest of the day, you could see all these people like trying to like sneak a peek over at their neighbor to see what their dot was doing. If it didn't change color, if it stays black, it either means you're cold or you're stressed or it's gotten way too warm. And she said, the dot is not broken. The dots do not break. Inevitably, at every conference, someone comes up to her with a black dot and says, you gave me a broken dot. She said, if it's black, it's you, it's not the dot. And sure enough, as the day goes on, my dot did not budge. It stayed black the entire day. It was freezing in there, too. But it was so hysterical because at lunch, everyone's standing out in the sun with their arm up in the air trying to get their dot to change, and people are breathing on it, like putting it under their armpit and like trying to get this thing to budge. And mine did not change until after I went to dance class that night. And I had that sort of coming down, feeling that really great exercise, relaxing thing, and it went this bright, brilliant azure blue. And that was the relaxation. That's the relaxation response that Herbert Benson talked about, that's in opposition to the stress response. It's the nervous system shifting back. It's those hormones balancing out. It's that feeling of, to me, it feels like you get out of a cold pool and you put on like a warm sweatshirt that just came out of the dryer. That's what it feels like to me. And I've bought thousands of dots, and I give them out at my lectures, and because it's a perfect illustration of, hey, you're dealing with some stress, and sometimes we need that little indicator light has to go on and say that something's not right in our body.
Go ahead, Richard.
I was just going to say, do you by any chance sell BioDots on your site?
I don't. You can get them at BioDots. I think it's biodots.net. It's Indiana Biodot Company is where I get mine, and they were the original ones that had them. I've seen others online. I don't know if they're the same. I don't know if they're as good. I've never thought to distribute them. They're, I just buy them and give them out at talks. So all my friends and people who have been to my lectures understand what I say when, oh, my dot is black. That's become sort of this vernacular amongst friends, or someone will randomly email me and say, what color is your dot today, Kathy? And I'll be like, blue. So it's kind of a fun way, too, to communicate your stress. Oh, my dot is black. I'm having a bad day. Everyone's like, uh-oh. I love them. They're great for kids because it's a physical indicator of, hey, look what's happening with your body. You're stressed a little bit. So I love them. They're fabulous.
It might be a good learning tool, too, to show people how to get in that mood of relaxation and peacefulness.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's I'm about to start working with the military. I was asked to be the head expert on a project to create an institute, a stress reduction program with the military, and they want testing. They want sensors and things that are going to show that these techniques work, and one of the things we're thinking about using are the BioDots. Because they're affordable, they're not electronic, you don't have to plug them in anywhere, you just stick the sticker on your hand, and it can help indicate, in the right environment. If you're really cold, that conference room was freezing, no one was going to change. In the right environment, it's actually a really great tool, it's a great learning tool.
And it doesn't need to be plugged in or charged.
Right, yeah,
is that true?
Sticker.
I love that. I love the, because I can think of it. There are a bunch of great applications where you can kind of do, breathing or, monitor your pulse or all sorts of things. You can even use it for pulse technique, for seeing if you had an allergy to a food or some kind of issue. So I love something that doesn't need, something else that does not need to be charged is like magic. Have you done any, I'm going to jump completely here to a different category. Well, same category. Have you done any work and or any research in heart rate variability or the heart math research?
A teeny little bit, not tons. But what's funny that you ask that is that's one of the things that we're going to be using as one of our markers is heart rate, because that's so easy to measure. And everyone's got their Fitbit or their whatever those things are called now that are measuring heart rate. And I just saw a crowdfunding campaign. I don't remember which one it was on. It was Indiegogo, but it was a bracelet made from natural cork, and it was basically a stress indicator. And it would tell you, it would monitor when your heart rate went up and when it indicated that you were stressed. And then it gave you this website where you could see where you were and what you were doing at the time. So if there was a certain person that stressed you out, or a certain work environment that stressed you out, or a certain whatever it was, driving stressed you out, it was really an interesting concept. And I thought about contributing to their funding campaign and then getting one of these bracelets, because I think that would be fascinating to see. It would be hard for me because, of course, with doing massage all day, I can't have a bracelet on. That gets in the way. I think that the heart rate, there's certain things that are really good tells when we're stressed. And I belong to a private club in L.A. called the Magic Castle, and I saw a friend of mine perform last night, and he was a little more nervous than he had been the last time I saw him perform. And his tell when he's nervous is his jaw shakes a little bit when he talks. So I was watching him perform last night, and I'm looking at his body language, and I'm going, he's a little bit nervous tonight. Interesting, because I can observe that. Now, I don't know if he knows that's his tell, but I can tell that's his tell. So, and when I told him it was a great show, he goes, oh, I was having a little bit of trouble. So clearly something was going on, and I was able to pick that up. So it's about observing, and sometimes we can observe other people so much better than ourselves, right? So I think any of those sensors or those things that are going to tell us, hey, hey, woohoo, you're having stress right now, I think it's a really good thing.
Kathy, we've talked about nutrition just a little bit. Could we jump to your wonderful alternative medicine book?
Yeah, of course.
Would you tell our audience about that?
Yeah, that was the first book I wrote, and it's basically a compendium of various natural health tips and techniques. It starts out really basic with things like, you know, what are the different types of massage and what are some of the benefits of massage, what is Reiki, what are homeopathics, and then it goes into really specific stuff like weight loss and cancer treatments and communication, a little bit of mind-body medicine, things like that. And it just grew out of me wanting to reach more people. And when I sat down to write my first book, I had a very different book in mind. And I gathered, you know, all this research and I'm doing all this online stuff. And then it hit me one day. Wow, you know, you've written dozens of articles. You had to do all these projects for your schooling. There's your book. Share all of that. You did it already. You know, so I took a lot of things that I had already written, looked into, researched, and put that together. And that's where the alternative medicine cabinet came from. And I picked that title because, you know, you open your cabinet at your house and you see different shelves of different things that are for different ailments. And that's basically what this book is. You can open it anywhere and basically pick your shelf, and you get a different little story about health. It was turned into a TV show, which I'm pretty sure will be airing this year, which is very exciting. And, it's such a great book. It's great for basics if you don't know much about natural health and alternative medicine. But I've had some really skilled practitioners read it and say, wow, there's things in there I had not heard of or thought of. And it was a good reminder for them of things they were familiar with. So I'm really proud of that book. That was my first baby.
We would like you to keep in touch with us so we can let our audience know when this show is going to be coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. And my new book, Journey of Healing, is going to be out in the next couple, probably by end of summer. So I'm really excited about that, too.
Oh, well, let us know. Absolutely. Do you do private sessions? Do you do workshops? How can people get in touch to find out what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. The best place is my website, which is thealternativemedicinecabinet.com. And I lecture all over the country. I'm actually going to be up in Denver in about 2 weeks talking to a bunch of 911 dispatchers. And, you know, I do health fairs and things all over the place. I'm going to be in Vegas for a couple conferences and would love to come to your area and talk if anybody's interested. So the best thing to do is just go to my website. You can sign up for my newsletter and reach me that way. And yeah, I do private sessions, so I can do, I do hypnotherapy as well. Kind of, you know, distance massage is probably not going to work. But yeah, I definitely do stress reduction, you know, over the phone and Skype. I can do visualizations where I customize visualizations for you and put them on an MP3 and get them to you. And the health consulting and things, that's so easy to do via Skype or phone. So yeah, I can work with people wherever they are. And then I also have a program where you come to Santa Barbara and you spend 4 intensive days with me. All you have to do is pay for the airfare and get here. Everything else is covered. And that's a pretty neat program too. So yeah, however I can help, let me know. It's thealternativemedicinecabinet.com.
I'm having trouble getting to it. Richard isn't. If somebody else is, they could go to your Facebook, the one with his great pictures and the flying trapeze.
Yeah, it's facebook.com/Dr. Kathy Groover, the number 4, health. And you can find me there as well. And my email is, it's pretty simple. It's drkathygroover@gmail.com. It's Dr. Kathy with a K. Groover with a V as in Victor @gmail.com. And you can reach me there and we'll get you set up and however I can help.
And what I can see us moving toward the close, which I knew this would happen once the pedal went to the floor. That was it. We were off and running. Is, can you give us like 3 things that you do every day to try and help reduce your own stress and, you know, just 3 things you do every day?
Yeah, I hug my husband, I pet the cats, and I laugh. And sometimes all 3 of those are combined in some sort of way. My husband and I laugh a lot. We laugh a lot. It's like a sitcom around here. We both were former actors. We both do improv. And occasionally we'll just break into an improv game and just start laughing. Yeah, we sing a lot in very funny ways. So yeah, it's the laughing. You gotta laugh. And yeah, the wine probably helps too.
That came so natural to you. Kiss the husband, pet the cat, and laugh.
Yep.
Awesome stuff.
While sipping on wine. I think it might have to be four. There might have to be sipping on wine
sipping
while
on wine,
laughing
yeah.
and petting the cat and kissing the husband.
Yes,
I
perfect.
Think that's a,
beautiful sight. It'll
that's
be our
amazing.
Christmas card this year.
I'm in Northern California up in wine country, so the wine always has to be involved in
right?
all activities.
Lovely, lovely.
Dr. Kathy's book, Conquer Your Stress Mind/Body Technique. You can get it at Amazon, then you can back up and also buy the Alternative Medicine Cabinet.
And I'm excited to hear about the fact that you have but yet another book. I'm amazed that you have time to trapeze and pet the cat and kiss your husband, considering everything that you produce. It's just like amazing.
I get excited to hear about the
journey of healing.
Oh, I'm so excited about that book, and that's a lot of personal stories. It's a combination of basically autobiography and textbook. So, like the story I told about the Vegas thing, I don't think that one's in there, but it's things like that. We all have these pivotal moments where something happens, and maybe it's an exchange in an elevator or a sunset or the birth of a baby, whatever it is, where we go, wow, that led me to something. That upped my life points, whatever it is. And I share a lot of those in the book, starting with the death of my mom and going all the way through, you know, dealing with some of my clients and some really funny stories and touching stories. And I'm so excited about this book. It's phenomenal. So I'm looking forward to having that out.
Well, you have a place on our show when it happens.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kathy. We have a couple of announcements before we close. We are going to be looking at the military voices of the people who are heading this Jade Helm movement. By request, people are concerned about that they're not getting the truth, and that's one of the things we're famous for. We can look at someone's vocal print and see what their perception is, what their if they're telling the truth or not, and what their real deep down intent. So join us on Tuesday on Happy Hour by going to our radio link on our show and just Happy Hour. A lot of other things there you might be interested in. Making Peace with Suicide, a lot of people are watching that one. So that combines with what Dr. Kathy is saying about stress. Let's not let it get that far. So Tuesday, soundhealthoptions.com will also be on Blog Talk Radio. And if you want to be notified of our free classes and what our radio shows are going to be about, you can go to the Contact Us and just put your name in there, and we'll be happy to let you know what's going on. Well, one other announcement. People have been asking, where are the charts that we'll be using for what each frequency of your voice means. So go to Sound Health Options, go to Downloads, and if you go to Nano Voice, which is the Personality Profiler, on that page you can just download this chart. You can also download the software. There's a textbook about it you can download. There's a lot of videos. So we're trying to provide information that you can use on your own to help relieve your stress. That's a good way to end. Thank all of you for being here. You can always tell when people are loving our guests because they don't chat very much. They're intensely listening. And I think this is the smallest chat I've ever seen on here. So they loved what you were saying, Dr. Kathy, and we look forward to having you back.
I would love that. Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of the day.
You too. Thank you so much. That was great. I knew it was going to be fun, and it was really great. Thanks so much. Have
You're
fun
welcome.
On the trapeze again. I'll be down on the ground. I'll be down on the ground sipping wine while you're doing that. I can't.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate the
I'm
support.
Not there yet. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks, everybody. See you on Tuesday.
Give everybody a few minutes to grab the chat. Go into the chat box, control.